listener production.
Hey, it's me, Ursula Carlson. Welcome to today's episode of More Than Enough Already, where I'm simply giving you more. More complaining, more venting, more swearing. The works. All of the above. But with a little help from my good friend, Nazim Hussain, who likes to complain just as much as me, which is saying something. Well, actually, I don't complain. Do you complain? We don't
complain so much.
But of course, there's a cherry on top. Each episode will wrap up with you, my beautiful, sexy podcast complainers. So get your aggression on. Let's get stuck into today's episode. Be angry with me.
I know you're not lying.
Are you enjoying the show?
More than enough already.
Shut up. Oh, shush.
No, I'm still eating. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
So sorry, Nazim.
I'm really sorry.
No, I'm so sorry.
This is a new episode. Thank you for tuning in. Press and play. This is an episode where we're talking about another thing that shits us.
Yeah, and this one hits real close to bone to me. People who apologize for fucking everything.
Okay.
Nazim, you're moving. I mean, you're not, but I'm saying, like, this is just an example. You're moving house, and I go, Naz, well, fuck, bro, I've got a ute. I've got the whole weekend off. I'm going to come help you. I'm so sorry that, you know, you're giving up your weekend. I'm like, well, I offered. You know, the whole time I'm helping you, you're like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Like, no, I want to do this for you. I'm so sorry about that. And I'm like, no, this is what I do. Like, I want to help you. This is how I show love. This is my love language. I want to help you. I'm so sorry that you have to do this.
This was me probably only a few years ago. I would apologize for absolutely everything. Because I think it's just like, I don't want to upset. It's very people-pleasy personality trait.
Yeah.
Probably comes from a good place. But then I realized, actually, as a people-pleaser, that's not very pleasing to the other person.
No, because it's exhausting.
And it takes the good thing away from you. So instead of saying sorry, sorry for taking away your weekend, I should be saying, hey, thank you for doing this for me. I really appreciate that. If I'm late, instead of saying sorry, everybody, you say, hey, thank you, guys.
For waiting.
It makes them feel good as opposed to them having to then forgive you.
Yeah, now we have to, you're ready. And then you have to kind of, now you're using all of my emotional energy for the weekend, which I didn't think I had to expel any, because I'm just here doing something for you and we're doing something together. I'm having a great time. I'm spending time with my friend.
Yeah.
And now you're being a fucking emotional black hole, sucking the goddamn life out of every cell of my fucking body, because I have to now pump you up and go, bro, no, it's not like that.
Exactly.
Don't worry about it. And now I feel exhausted. I'm physically exhausted because I'm helping you move.
Yep.
I'm emotionally exhausted because I've had to pump your fucking tires all weekend.
Yeah, and you're not getting the kudos, the pat on the back. See, I don't know how to use that word, so I just...
Yeah. Kudos. Yeah, you're doing English second language here. I love it.
You're not getting the pats on the back for doing the good thing. Yeah. But now I'm getting the good deed happen to me.
Even if it isn't, because now I'm starting to feel like initially I was just like, oh, I've got fuck all on this weekend. I was going to ask you to come with me to the footy or something. And then you go, oh, no, I'm moving. I'm like, oh, fuck, bro, why didn't you ask? I'll come help. I'm going to come help you. I've got the ute this weekend. I'm going to come help you. And then the whole time you're apologizing for fucking everything. Every second word out of your mouth is so sorry. You probably hate me. Like, what the fuck? No, I don't. And now I'm building you up. And then it's not even that I want kudos. No. And then you're like,
making it about the person saying sorry. And you know what? It takes away from, because saying sorry is a really good thing when it needs to be said. It's someone who's not, it doesn't have too much of an ego. There's enough self-awareness. You know, so when someone says sorry, It should feel meaningful. But if you're just saying it when you're obviously not doing the wrong thing, you're devaluing actual apologies. And now it's like you're making somebody else. It's like when you wear a pair of jeans and something, you're like, I look shit in this day. It's just fishing.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah. You're being a drainer. And I get it. And like you say, you know, we all go through those phases where you have like, you know, you're as a people pleaser, you kind of go, oh, I want to say sorry. But then you go, okay. If you keep saying the same shit over and over, you're as draining as that friend who drinks too much. And now the other friends are going, oh, fuck, I'm responsible for this cunt all night now, aren't I?
Wait, make that link again.
So you know, because it takes as much effort.
Oh, right. You've got to fill in.
I have to look after you the whole time so you don't fucking have a meltdown. So if you're emotionally draining, you're as tiring as looking after the drunk friend. You know, both of them sap you dry where you go, I have to look after this bitch because otherwise she's going to fucking go home with some dipshit, you know, and you get her home and then she's like, no.
So you can't have a good time. You're out. You just want to have a good time with your mates. And instead, now you've got to be the responsible person.
Looking after the drunk
one. You know what it is? So basically, someone, this is me from a few years ago. You'd say sorry because you want the other person, maybe you feel like you're not doing something good enough. Or like, okay, someone's coming to help you move. So you're like, I'm putting them out. So instead of, there's a void. So they're doing something good for me. So to fill that gap, it's either filled with sorry and the other person has to go, no. It's all good, or you can fill it with a positive thing. Go, hey, thank you.
That's it.
You just got it. Yeah, so someone is being put out, but you can either make the other person feel like that, or you can thank them.
They're not put out.
Okay, but you're
I'm saying
okay,
to
not
you,
put out,
this is my love language. I want to hang out with you. I want to be with you, but you don't trust that other people want to do shit for you. So now you're like, oh, you're put out. No, I'm not. And you go, no, I'm doing, if it wasn't for me moving, you wouldn't have to give up your weekend. Well, I'm not giving up my weekend. I'm spending my weekend
doing
with my friend.
Joy. Yeah.
It's not even about doing shit for you. I'm spending time with you.
Oh, what about
so
apologize for
is
other
my,
things?
Is my payoff. So it's like, so in your head, you're like, yeah, but this must be a punish for you. I go, no, that's how you would see it.
So your love language is service to other people.
Yeah. I want to hang out with you.
I think
if that involves me moving a couch, I'll fucking do it.
Yeah, you are a giver, you're a doer, isn't it?
Yeah.
So someone,
I'm an active relaxer.
I think also you like words of affirmation.
What does that mean?
The love languages. You can't just.
I mean, I say love language because I don't know how else to describe it.
There's a book. It's a very thin book. But even though it's thin, I haven't read it. But I've got it on the bookshelf. And I remember, I think the table of contents or the introduction or the preface, whatever it is, talks about words of affirmation. So, you know, oh, you look good. I love you. All that stuff. Receiving gifts. That's another one. Acts of service. Physical touch. And there's another one. What's the other one?
Boning.
Not sex. That's physical touch.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah.
Is it quality time?
Quality time.
Yeah.
So yours is acts of service. So
yeah, but I can combine it with quality time. Like if I spend the weekend with you, helping you move, that is us having quality time while acts of service, you know, and it can be physical touch if we move the couch together and we have to hold hands.
It's not that like those other ones don't make you feel loved, but there's people tend to have one that is more than others. But yeah, but what about just hanging out on the couch? Is that does that really make you feel? Or you would rather, if you wanted to show me that you loved me?
Yeah, I'd rather do shit.
Rather
with
do something.
Let's,
with me.
Yeah, let's assemble something, or let's go do something like golf. Or you and I have been to Luna Park.
Yeah, yeah.
We've
do
done
things.
Shit together.
Okay. Oh, similarly, it works the other way around as well. So if that's what makes you feel loved, if someone does the opposite of that, so if someone doesn't spend quality, you feel there's resentment. If someone says something mean to you, if that's your love words of affirmation, you'll feel more hurt than someone who's puts more things on the gifts, whatever.
Yeah, but I don't really give a fuck what you say.
Oh, is it what I'm explaining now, or just generally?
No, in general. like to me, when people go, you know, they can say shitty things or whatever, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. But it's more about what you do.
I
can see, you know, because I feel like people can say, it's easy to say you love someone. I love you.
Yeah.
I won't do this, or, you know, I'm not going to, but show me.
Yeah, yeah. That's like an addict says all the things, but then it's like, come on, mate.
Yeah.
Let's see.
It's easy to say shit.
Yeah.
But it's harder to show
stuff. You know what? That's
and to consistently show up. To consistently do things for the other person or to, you know, not just in the honeymoon phase of the friendship or the relationship or the but just to know you will always have someone's back.
That's what you say it best when you say
should we hold hands when you sing off key like that or
you have to look at my nails.
No, I don't want to do that.
But what are, you know, the one where it's like, doesn't matter what you I don't even know the words of that song. I just know. I think it's about not saying
when
I love
you.
Do
nothing at all.
Do nothing at all. I don't know what that love is.
I don't know what the fuck that means.
Anyway.
You need to do shit, like a stack the dishwasher.
So what about if someone's late? If I'm running late, what do you want me to do?
I find that super disrespectful. But if you flick me a text and go, bro, I'm running late. Sweet. Like, at least because you have respect my time enough.
I'm so sorry.
No,
I'm
not. No, You don't need to say sorry.
I mean, that's when do you apologize then?
No, when you drive over my foot, you go, sorry about that. When you break something that's important to me, you go, sorry about that. But not when something, like to me, especially if Melbourne traffic, shit, that's not your fault. Like you go, yeah, you probably should have left sooner, but sometimes you just really cannot predict.
Yep.
You know, yesterday I left my bag in an Uber, you know, and then I had to, so that derails a lot of stuff, you know. So then you go, sorry for the time waste here, guys. I just lost my fucking mind. And,
oh, right. But you don't go on it. You don't keep saying sorry. I'm so sorry.
The rest of the day, you're not going to hear me keep crapping on about the fucking bag.
Yeah, I
made a mistake. I got the bag back. Now we're carried on with the day. I'm so sorry. You know, if I didn't do that with the bag, then I'm so sorry. I kept you alone. I'm so sorry. It's fucking draining. It's like we've dealt with this. We are adults.
It's basically asking the other person to make all, to say all the excuses or to do all the explaining for you. Like if someone's like, oh, I'm so sorry I didn't clean up my house before you came, I'm so sorry. And then it's on the other person to go, no, I get it. You're a busy person and you've got three kids and blah, blah, blah.
But also they put a lot of what lives inside their shit. Like we all have shit inside us, right? Yeah. But then they put their shit on you. They're like, you're probably expecting more. You probably thought you would get this. You probably thought this. And like, you don't know what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Don't put thoughts, your thoughts, in my fucking head, because 99% of the time you're going to be wrong because you don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know my makeup. You don't know my background. You don't know where I'm coming from. So you go, like, sometimes
I read your book.
People will, did you though? You didn't, did
I've
you?
Listened.
People will rock up or say if I rock up somewhere, they'll go, you probably expected a nicer house or you're probably used to better. And I'm like, I live in a shit neighborhood and I've got the smallest house of any of my friends' houses that I've ever been. I've got a tiny, tiny house in a shit neighborhood, but I love the neighborhood. I love my neighbors. I love that sort of community vibe, you know. Like in front of me, I've got about 20 Filipino guys that all share a house. They all work construction and but I kind of love that vibe, you know.
But so you're not apologetic, but you know what though, Ursh? It's weird because you live in New Zealand, one of the most self-deprecating cultures on the planet. And then there's Canadians as well who say sorry when they greet you.
Mm-hmm.
But you are the most secure, confident person and you just want people to, you own who you are at all times. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen you insecure or even like, never.
No.
So that's not, I'm going to say that's not normal. It's not normal in a good way. You're exceptional. Most of us are a little bit like, oh, sorry about the mess, sorry about my smell.
Yeah, but I think the minute you start apologizing for the stuff that you feel insecure about, the minute you, because now you're highlighting shit. Like, if I rock up at someone's house and they go, I'm so sorry, I haven't even had a chance to mow the lawns. Now I'm like, oh, I didn't even see the lawns.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right, it does look like shit. You know, people start apologizing for stuff and then immediately it draws your attention to it. It's like, you know, I'm so sorry, you can see my tail. Fuck, you've got a tail? You know, now you see this shit, but if you just shut the fuck up
and
you
just
your shit, we don't know. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just take it as that is your normal. You clearly don't have a problem. You're confident in your shit. I'm confident in my shit. What? So I should show up at your house and go, I'm so sorry I'm overweight. You probably expected someone skinny. I'm so sorry my fat ass is going to sit on your furniture. No, bitch, you've got eyes in your head. Mm. I'm going to sit with my fat ass on your furniture. That's how it works.
You know, I reckon this level of you need to be like a dating coach because there's always that person. There are comedians, I don't want to name names because it's just embarrassing. They're like very good looking, but their personality is exceptionally attractive because they're like just confident and they're just, they're not insecure and unsure.
There's nothing more attractive than confidence. Mm. That's my mum said that all the time growing up. She goes, there's nothing more attractive than confidence. So if you want to, I mean, you know, I'm Cindy Crawford or whoever, you know.
That's as close to insecure as you're getting.
No. I'm saying I'm saying
okay,
you're being
objective.
You,
okay, yeah.
Like I'm no runway fucking model, but I've also never been single.
Yeah. You know, yeah, exactly. You know, that's what it is. As soon as you walk down the street and you see some average guy with some someone that's straight off a catwalk.
Yeah, you go, who the fuck is that? Okay, let me put this to you, Nazim, all right? You talk about confidence. Yep. How many hot people do you know that are single, right? And you go, why is that? How the fuck are you this hot and you can't find someone? Even yesterday, I had a makeup lady. She's fucking smoking hot, single for years. Then you watch that, My 600-pound Life. None of those people are single.
What's My 600-pound Life?
Fucking look into it, cunt.
What
like
is it?
It's just fat people. Mm-hmm. Like it's in the name. It's says on the label.
Yeah, okay. So what, it's just
it's just
them
fat
around.
People.
Like the Kardashians, and fat people.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like you know, it's just fat people.
Right, right.
And then
yeah, well,
but
are they confident?
All of them are partnered up. There's a thing now of a woman in Australia. She weighs 260 kilograms, and she's on this weight loss journey. And then she's got a partner, and he's with her the whole time. And you go, okay, so. But she's confident within herself, and she's like owning her shit, and she's like, you know, I'm doing life for myself. I'm like, she's unapologetic. And she's like, I'm just living my fucking life. And you know what? She has a man who goes, I can see this woman for who she is, her true confident self. And he finds that attractive. And people go, how the fuck can you be with that? But those people are the same people who can't find someone because they're fucking apologizing for who they are.
Well, being confident isn't like a huge transformation internally. Like it can just be just saying things that confident people say. So just not saying, if you just cut out sorry, that's like a massive game changer.
Yeah.
Like there's a guy who I went to school with, and objectively.
Are we talking about Hesh again?
No. This is a guy.
This is a guy that should get billing on this fucking podcast. It should be with Ishla Carlson, as he was saying, and occasionally Hesh.
Occasionally Hesh. Very, very regular. But this is a guy who is objectively not good looking. Like he also just doesn't look after himself physically. Like he's just a grubby, I don't know. But he's extremely confident. An ex-Wall Street guy. So he's kind of got that like confidence. He's a bit of an annoying guy. But regularly, whenever I catch up with old school friends, we're like, oh my God, did you hear about insert name? We're like, yes. And then everyone has a new story. You go through his Facebook. He's dating like actual models. And we're like, but how? And it's only
confidence?
Down to his personality.
Yeah.
Which is so weird. It can be weaponized like that.
Yeah. So please stop fucking apologizing.
And you'll pick up.
Nazim, so sorry to cut you off. So sorry.
I was so attracted.
But we
so
need to get a
now.
Caller. Now, we're going to take a caller, Prue Hempel.
Yeah, see what's shitting her.
Yeah, or him. Or them.
Prue.
Or they.
My first ever crush was a girl called Prue Gower.
Really?
In Perth, yeah. And I remember in prep, we were walking to school outside, walking towards the classroom, and she put flowers on my head, and then I saw my sister looking, and I got embarrassed, and I just ran away. I was like, stay away from me, Prue.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a,
Shout out to Prue.
Hello, this is Prue.
Hi, Prue. It is Ishla Carlson and...
Hello, Nazim Hussain.
Welcome.
Hello, guys.
To the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How are you? Where are you phoning from?
I'm phoning from the Gold Coast.
Gold Coast. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice and warm today?
Yeah, of course. Always. When is it not?
I know. That's why I hate it. Hey,
what?
Prue.
That shits me.
I know. It's just because it's too hot. I'm a unit. You get to certain places, big units just can't go. When you walk around the Gold Coast, that's why everyone's hot and skinny, because the fat bitches can't go there.
Sure. You said that, not me.
I'm supposed to be good with the heat because my background is Sri Lankan, but because I've lived in Melbourne my whole life,
you're soft.
I can't take
soft.
It.
You see, I'm African. They go, this isn't like Africa. I'm like, no, it's not. I can't do it. I didn't. That's why I left Africa. Prue, tell us, what is the thing that shits you to absolute tears?
So I can't even, it's something that I've not really ever spoken to anyone about, but misuse of the English fucking language. Like we're all taught it from being, 5 years old, if not earlier, actually out of the womb. But it's when people misuse terms. So there's like simple ones like espresso, martini. No, babe.
Uh-oh.
There's no X.
Exactly.
You're not reading the X. Why are you adding an X?
Exactly.
Yes. Or ox. Can I ox you something? Bitch, you know how to spell it. The S is in the middle.
It's fucking so frustrating. The other one that it gets me, and one of my good girlfriends says it all the time, and it's too far gone. I can't bring it up with her anymore. Rather than saying I'm trying not to be a prude, she'll be like, oh, I know I'm not a prune, but every time
you need to cut it
loose.
Wait.
What are you?
Okay. I would say a prune is also not a positively, like, it's not a positive fruit. It helps you, it helps shit come out.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe.
Yeah, but it's the thing. It's the saying is, I'm not a prude. You're a prune? You're fucking doing it wrong.
She's being subversive.
Yeah, it's so frustrating. She's
unless she's English second language, there's no excuse for this shit.
No. The other one that gets me, and this one I feel like everyone is, or everyone hears, is ears dropping. No, yeah. Your ears aren't dropping.
It's eavesdropping.
And might I just say, I don't actually know why it's eavesdropping.
I was going to say, I don't know why. Why is it called eavesdropping?
Yeah.
You know that it is. You're not going to say eavesdropping just because you don't know.
Prue, can I tell you something that shits me? Also with a, okay, so you know when they spell on a breakfast board, they go brekkie, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's brekkie. That is the brekkie.
Oh, okay.
Because we have, but now they make it breaky.
I thought you were going to end with a Y, brekkie. Breaky, yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah, no, but they make it breaky. It's like, no, yeah. It's breaky. You're already breaky. Making it slang.
Yeah.
It is breaky, so that is a different word now.
Yeah.
Right? So don't.
If you're going to mess with the language.
Yeah, like, do it properly. Like, you're fucking it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, but I think ux is the one that gets me. And espresso, yeah. Can I have the espresso? No, you dumb cunt, you can't.
Sorry, we don't actually serve those.
Yeah, we don't know what that is.
I mean, it feels like a new coffee waiting to be invented. Like, if you're in a rush. You know, you just
that's an espresso with some spit in it. That's an espresso
is where you just grab the beans and put it in a cup, pour some milk over the top.
Just crunchy.
Yeah.
Chocolate milkshake and the crunchy.
Espresso is what you is the coffee you make for your ex. It's a water scoop from the toilet.
Poison.
Yeah. There was a family friend who's like, okay, English is a second language, but he used to say, we used to run these classes and he'd go, anyone want to ask a question?
Oh, yeah, no.
And we used to say that at home. But yeah, again, second language, you can do whatever you like.
Fair enough.
But if you've gone to a school where they teach English,
yeah, you need to.
You should go back to school.
I have to say, Prue, because I struggle with the sayings in English, right? And even now, I was just talking to a friend of mine because I'm Afrikaans, first language, and then you know, our sayings are completely different to your sayings, and then we were just talking, and I used to say it's whatever tickles your fanny. And then, I know, and then my ex-wife said, on a flight where I said it really loud to her, and then I go, hi, buzz, whatever tickles your fanny. And she goes, it's actually fancy. And I go, how the fuck do you tickle a fancy? I know how to tickle a fanny, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, literally, what does tickle your fancy mean?
Fuck, whatever, you know, float your boat. But
I used to teach like Quranic Arabic at a Saturday school, and kids that are like, I don't know, maybe 10 years old, maybe 9, 10 years old, that was my class. And I remember, like, my friend, I don't know, it's just silly. You know, my friend used to walk in and just, like, want to catch up with me in the middle of class. He was teaching another class. And when he'd walk in, I'd say to all the kids, I'd be like, all right, everybody, Brother Mehmet is here. Everyone relax your flaps. I'm just going to talk to him for a bit. And I did it week in. At one point, he's like, wait, did you say relax your flaps? I was like, yeah. They laugh and it's funny. It rhymes. Isn't that the phrase? He's like, relax your flaps.
It's like flap.
Not to kids.
And they were repeating it, running around, relax your flaps, relax your flaps. Yeah. Probably saying it to their parents.
Yeah.
Well, their mums are going,
I'm trying to, but you ripped them apart, bro.
What is this Muslim school?
Yeah.
The one that annoys me the most is when someone's sitting there and, you know, they're kind of mumbling to themselves and you go, oh, sorry, what was that? And they go, oh, sorry, I was just talking out loud. No, it's thinking out loud, because, you know, when you talk, that actually comes out.
That's on the outside, bitch. Yeah. We can all hear it.
Thinking, babe.
Yeah. I feel like I've probably done all these things.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you to stop. Fucking hell. Prue, thank you so much for calling in. Like, those are all things that shit me too. And I'm English second language, and I want people to stop that shit immediately. And, you know, I'm going to add something to that. People who, and you know, sort of with a thinking out loud thing, when they hum to a song and then only sing one word of the song. And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, save it for the ones you know.
Shut up.
Yeah, yeah. No, but then it's like, listen, I didn't fucking download the song so I can listen to you crap on, you dumbass.
When the song comes on in the car and your kids are in the back, say, you don't sing along to anything though.
No, because I do sing along when I'm alone in the car.
I sing along with my kids, but then I'm like, I think I might be wrecking the song for them, or they actually can't appreciate the chorus.
Yeah,
like
you are fucking tone deaf as hell.
What if you make it better?
No, he doesn't. I haven't heard his voice.
I try to give them memories.
I tried.
The memory is for you to
you know
up.
When kids always go, oh, I'm into Elvis because my dad used to listen to Elvis. He used to love Elvis.
Yeah.
I need my kids to know what songs I love. So
yeah, but
that's
you're into Eminem. I don't think you should do that. All right, we've got to let you go. Prue, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
And I hope you get to relax around people.
Yeah, I don't think I will ever. But thank you so much.
Thanks, Prue.
Don't stop. My opportunity comes once in a lifetime.
I'm
going
to ask you to stop.
All right. Do you reckon?
Stop.
Before.
No.
Okay.
And that's a wrap for this week's episode of More Than Enough Already. But I think it's important that I mention that I'll be back with a fresh new season of That's Enough Already in March with a lineup of guests that would make even Oprah go, that's impressive. Bish, that is impressive. But to keep you company until then, Nazim and I will be back next week with more stuff that ticks us off. See you then.
Listener. Hey everyone, I'm Nazim Hussain, and I, along with
Ursula Carlson,
we're going on tour.
Yes, we are. We're doing shows and we're making people laugh.
Yeah, on stage, okay? Mm. You don't have to listen to the podcast. You can just come and see us in the flesh.
Real life.
Can't touch us.
You can smell us.
You can't throw things at us, but you can
definitely sniff us.
Sniff us.
Come and see our comedy.
Livenation.com.au for tickets.
Or our websites, which is our names with a .com at the end.
Or just stalk us on socials.
Google us. Find out our first wives, second wives, third wives. We're looking for wives.
We are. If you're doing enough research, you'll be able to find out where we live. And just follow us around.
I will dox. If you send me a DM, I will send you Nazim's address.
I'll send you Ursula's address.